Hi everyone, and welcome to Let's Get Visible, a podcast for small business owners, helping them to grow, have a sustainable business, and get more visibility online. I'm Dawes Brown, and I'll be bringing you SEO and digital marketing tips, as well as interviews and conversations with other small business owners. So, let's get started. So today on the Let's Get Visible podcast, I'm joined by Monica O'Brien. Monica is a certified coach with more than 15 years' experience working with creatives, business innovators, and coaches in various stages of their careers. She helps her clients identify their ideal audience and build strong, mutually beneficial relationships while also empowering them to craft truly authentic offerings, acknowledging themselves and their creativity as having genuine value. Monica helps her clients to embrace their calling with focus and joy, using a variety of modalities such as NLP, mindfulness, meditation, action plans, visualization, art, writing, and other mind-body-soul practices. She coaches creatives to develop the best possible intentions and environment for their success in life and career, free of fear, procrastination, self-judgment, and stress. Her devoted focus to her clients' success ensures they benefit from her diverse experience and expertise, attaining a sense of confidence and security by becoming fully equipped to build the life they deeply desire. So let's welcome to the podcast, Monica.
Yay! Hi, Dawes.
Hello. Hey. Thank you so much for being part of today's episode. I'm excited too. So we met quite a few years ago now, when you were kind of looking into, I guess, SEO for your own, you know, Creative Edge coaching business. Mm. And since then, we've been able to work on lots of different things together. So I'm super excited and so happy that you could join me today because, yes, over that period of time, you know, I've gotten to know you, what you do and how you help people. I've also done some coaching with you and I know the difference and the impact that it's really made for myself and my small business. But I also find that these, you know, podcast episodes, you tend to discover or uncover a lot more about the other person that you think after 3 years, you know, we'd know each other quite well, but it's through these questions that we really discover a little bit more. So I'm excited to learn about that, and I do have a couple of questions just to keep us on track because I tend to talk underwater and it'll kind of give us a pathway and get our audience get to know you a little bit more too. So in the introduction I mentioned about the work that you do with creatives, and I just really wanted to know, I've never really asked this question before I think, but what made you decide to launch your own, you know, coaching and creative coaching business?
Well, I've got a bit of a speckly career path. I actually started as a nurse, trained as a nurse, and then during that time I was also involved in working with youth and in youth groups and what have you. And that led me into doing a lot of work with, actually then I became employed as a youth worker and worked with youth for around 15 years.
Oh, wow. And then, I did not know that.
Yes. And then at the same time, during that time, I actually established a publishing company, a music publishing company with my dearest friend, Trish. And it was during that time that I realized that a lot of creative people sort of really struggled in the whole area of particularly of promoting themselves, feeling comfortable about themselves in the marketing and sales area. So it wasn't until quite some time, probably like, I don't know, maybe two decades ago now, when I realized that I would love to do something that was more formal in terms of helping them. So I did my first training in coaching, and then probably 15 years ago, I got a little bit more serious about it, and certainly because I was still running the publishing company. And then more recently, as say five years ago, I suppose, I've really ramped up the whole area with Creative Edge coaching. And I totally and utterly love what I do. I really do. I think I get creators in a way that others perhaps may not get them.
Absolutely. And I agree with you there. I think you've got that insider's knowledge and insight that really makes a difference. You know, I would consider myself a bit of a creative in what I do.
Yes, you are. And it's just interesting, if I can just interject there, Dawes, it's interesting when people sort of think of creators. We do think about the dancers, the singers, the potters, you know, the visual artists, performing artists, et cetera, writers. But I do believe everyone is creative. However, I do believe that people who are heart-centered, who are very gifted in particular areas of creating something out of nothing, do have something that's a little bit different. So, yes, I believe everyone's creative. But I think people who are looking to be innovative in their businesses also fall into that creative sort of area. And I certainly work with people that wouldn't necessarily, are not necessarily artists as such.
Yes, and I agree. I think when you hear the word creative, your brain automatically goes to someone who creates artwork or, as you said, is a, you know, a performer. Not necessarily someone in digital marketing, but there's so much that goes into even creating, you know, strategies and plans and that kind of work, that you've got to be in a certain flow to be able to do that work. And I think that's when the creative aspect of it, you know, really comes into it. So with the backgrounds that you've brought into the Creative Edge coaching business, could you see any overlaps or similarities or things that have really helped you, you know, move forward into this pathway?
Oh, so many. Like, I actually do business coaching with creatives and coaches and healers. So, you know, my own experience of running a business, which was a very successful business, I grew it from nothing. I started with Trish with $50 in the bank. Wow. That was how we seeded our business, because we didn't realize we were going to start a business. Yep. She's a singer and a songwriter, and I basically was carrying, you know, CDs and in those days, CDs and books around to various concerts that she was doing. So we started in a very organic way. But I was more the business sort of head, if you like, of that friendship and partnership. And so, you know, I had to really learn from the ground up. I had to learn. I did everything, for starters. All Trish and I collectively did everything, from, you know, doing invoicing to creating the CDs or the, you know, the products that we were going to sell, and then looking at the whole marketing and sales and going to exhibitions and right across the board. So I've sort of been able to take all of those skills and that experience into Creative Edge coaching, which has been amazing. Plus the work in nursing and youth work. Has been really, like, I've always been people centered. It is funny, I think, when we look back at any of our trajectories in business, there is a sort of a through line. And I suppose for me, my through line is the community. The community is very important to me, and encouraging and supporting, and also tapping into the wisdom of the community is really something that I really hold, you know, high in terms of my values. I think it's super important to tap into that wisdom.
That through line really resonates with me too, because my, you know, I call it my previous life. In my previous life, when I didn't work in digital marketing and was working more with the corporate sector, after finishing, so my degree was in psychology of all things. And I say that because today I'm not a psychologist or a counsellor, but it's funny how that through line still intertwines with the path, you know, that you're moving towards or that destination. So I found that doing my psychology degree and being able to go through that process, then moving into the corporate world into a training and development role, then all of those things combined, you know, with digital marketing, it all does connect and make sense. And all of those experiences have definitely helped to shape what I do now and how I do what I do now. So,
and your background too, like as a psychologist or in that area, like that's what makes you so good at what you do, because you're able to listen, you're able to drill in, you're able to get clarity for clients before, you know, you go off and assist them with their websites or their SEO or whatever they need.
Yeah.
So I think it is interesting. I find that fascinating how parts of our past lives, as you call it, sort of come to support and nurture where we are now. I think that's really great if that can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Now, in the intro, I mentioned that you work with your clients in a few different ways using a variety of modalities like neuro-linguistic programming, mindfulness, meditation, action plans, visualization, art, writing. There's so many in that list.
Yeah.
Can you explain a little bit more, even if it's just at a top level, but the way in which you best serve or help the people that you do work with in the creative space? Sure.
I think there's two things that happen for not just exclusively for creatives, but for us as human beings. We get stuck. That's my big thing. I'm the sort of hopefully the person that can help someone get unstuck. So we get stuck for mainly two reasons. One is fear keeps us stuck. Or the other one is there's a knowledge gap. So often we may sort of come through the door into coaching because we want to define our audience, or, you know, really work on gaining fans if we're a performing artist, or we want to sell our paintings, or if we're a business person, you know, we really need to understand our ideal client. So that's the doorway. But often when we get in there, we realize that there are some other things that need to be transformed in order for us to really move forward. So I do two forms of coaching. I do what I loosely call transformational coaching. And in that space, I work a lot with people around what I believe about things, how my values impact my decision making. One of the things about creatives, and I say this sort of fairly as a generalization, a lot of creatives struggle with the sense of self-worth. They may be phenomenally talented, but, you know, and have things like perfectionism and a whole lot of stuff, self-worth, all that, those sorts of emotional things come into play. Because honestly, really from when they popped out, they've been referred to as being different. And they get this subliminal messaging throughout their lives of saying, well, get a real job, you know, stop daydreaming, like, you know, focus, you know. So the world doesn't really hold them in the space where they need to be held.
Yep.
So they create ways to cope with that.
Mm.
And often those ways of coping are actually now manifesting in a way that keep them stuck now. So there's these two forms. There's a transformational coaching where we look at those, and in that space, yes, I do use NLP. I use generative trance, which is something I'm super excited about because it's a relatively new tool, and it's a hypnosis type of form. Mm-hmm. And then I use the other one for the knowledge gap is more around the business coaching or career development. So there's two distinct yet intertwined ways that I work with clients, but I don't have a particular sort of pedestrian way of operating. I sort of try and see what comes up for the client, and then just we work with whatever shows up.
And it's very specialized and customized per person that you work with, because
really
I'm sure that every single person that comes to you is coming through with a different experience, background, you know, things that they've gone through. So it's not going to be exactly the same for each person. There are going to be some similarities, but also many differences.
Exactly.
But one thing that you mentioned was the fear.
Mm.
So can you expand a little bit more on that? Because I think as even when launching a small business, that's one of the main things that sticks out to me that I remember when 3 years ago, just having this fear and going, but what if I fail? What if I launch something and I don't get clients, I don't have a business, and it just completely, you know, tanks?
And I think fear accompanies us right along the journey. You know, there's fear that comes up even for successful people. Fear comes up.
Right.
So, but fear is an interesting thing. I mean, it is an emotion. Often though, I find that fear is based on something that's in a past experience or something that we're worried about in the future. So, you know, I do a lot of work with my clients and with myself, by the way, to be truly present, to be, this is what we've got. this is our here and now. And to say in terms of business development is to making sure that we take one step at a time, because mm-hmm. overwhelm causes fear.
Yeah.
Overwhelm, worrying, telling ourselves stories about the future that doesn't exist.
You yes. know,
playing what I call the B-grade movies. I mean, our brain is wired in a way that we actually want to play a movie.
Right.
You know, if something happens, or, you know, we've got a meeting coming up, for example, or we're going to network with someone, we will play a movie. Our
yeah.
brain is geared that way, that we'll imagine something. So my sort of teaching or mentoring would be along the lines of, listen, we're going to play a movie anyway. For goodness sake, let's not play the B-grade one. Let's play the blockbuster.
Yep.
Let's play something that is able to really energize us and
yeah.
change our way of being in the world, because the movie that we play in our mind does affect our physiology. It affects
right.
our state of mind. I mean, our brain doesn't know the difference between what's real and what's made up.
No.
So let's make one up that actually works.
Yeah, I love
know?
It.
It's sort of like that's a short way of explaining quite a long process. But yeah, I think fear is always about the past or the future. And so the whole way of just being present, working with what we've got, not getting ahead of ourselves, being deliberate, is a helpful way, I think, to deal with things like fear.
I love it. And I came across this quote just last night. So this is showing exactly how the universe likes to plot little things in our
yeah.
path.
Yeah.
But the quote is, you can't make decisions based on fear and the possibility of what might happen.
Mm.
And I feel like that's so true with small business owners mm. and, you know, generally mm. in life, that mm. we pause or stop ourselves from moving forward and doing something that we really want to do because we're so scared of the outcome. And mm. as you said, playing stories or playing these movies in our minds of mm. sometimes the worst possible scenario. And I think when you do that, that's then what you're working towards, something
oh,
that
absolutely.
Will fail, because
yeah.
that is what you've set yourself as, you know, that path mm. for being able to shift some of those blocks. And again, we've worked together in a coaching capacity, and you definitely were able to move some of those roadblocks for me in sitting there and just being able to map out and, as you said, create more of a positive blockbuster movie rather yeah. than sitting in that, you know, space
yeah.
of fear and going, oh, but what if this happens
yeah.
and what if that happens? Well, if that's what you're telling your brain is going to happen, it doesn't mm. really know the difference.
No, it doesn't.
Between Yeah.
Exactly. And I think a really important little ingredient in that process is play. Like, it's really important to give ourselves permission to play with options,
yeah.
you know, to play with the unknown, to play with stuff while we're working through that discernment.
Yes.
And it's okay to throw it all up in the air and look at it and let a couple fall to the ground and then to just arrive on a pathway. I think it is important to plan. I'm not saying don't have goals, and I'm not saying, because that's important. We need to be able to envisage something. You know, if I'm painting a room, I need to be able to think, oh, what would the colors look like? And how will that work with the furnishings? And what do I need? Oh, I need paintbrushes. I need drop sheets. I need whatever I
yes.
need. You know, so I think it is important to have those ingredients. But, you know, to use the analogy of the painting of the room, we might play with a couple of swatches first.
That's
you know,
it. You don't go and buy the whole
exactly.
tin of five. How much paint is 5 liters? That's the word I was looking for. You don't go and
yeah.
buy a 5 liter thing. You go and
yeah.
buy your little swatches. You go and get those little sample. I love those cardboard
yeah,
samples from from Bunnings that you go
yeah.
and you pop it against the wall, against, as you said, your furnishings and your bits.
Yeah.
But I think that's what happens when you're launching a business, that you want it to be successful, because no one
yeah.
goes into business planning
no.
to fail, right?
No.
But in doing that, I think what sometimes happens is, and I know I did it, trying to be, you know, perfect, trying to have all your bits lined up and everything
yeah.
absolutely perfect before going, I need to put things out there and I need to test what it is that I offer and what it is that I do. And as you said, it's okay if you drop a little bit of paint on the floor and you
yeah.
don't need to wipe it up. But that it's those things that help you work out the things then that you need to be doing and the things that you can walk away from and go, actually, that doesn't light me up. They're things that don't really make me happy. Mm. And as I've shared with you, you know, personally, I've even gone through that going, I've set up my model in this particular way. Mm. And I can tell you that A, B, and C is actually not really what, you know, what I want to do long term or what really makes me happy. So, it's going through, you know, painting those walls and using those swatches rather than the 5 liter, you know, tins of paint to really work out what you need to do, but break through some of that fear as well, which I think many of us running businesses, you know, kind of play those, play those movies in our minds. And I guess that brings me to the next point, which is hindsight. So you do have quite a diverse background, you know, moving into creative edge coaching when that was launched. But I guess in launching that, would there be anything that you would do differently if you had the opportunity to go back in time, and why?
Yeah, look, I think when I started the business, I had the fortunate position of having another form of income.
Yes.
So I think that's a really good thing. Some people think, oh, if I'm going to do this, I need to jump in completely and do it. Actually don't support that because, you know, we have to feed ourselves and our family and
Mama's got to eat.
Exactly. So, you know, we need to sort of get rid of that sort of pressure that we can put on ourselves that everything has to accelerate really quickly.
Yes.
And, you know, the point that you were making before about, you know, when we were using the analogy of painting the room, something that came to me in that is, you know, our customers inform us about what we do, and our customers or our clients or our fans, depending on who our audience is, that really does shape our business.
It does.
If we're really listening, we're listening and we're attuned and we're being present and we don't have the plan so watertight that we can't change. Yes. You know, a lot of businesses go belly up because they've got such a rigid plan that the customers are wanting and informing us about something else, but because we're holding on to the plan, we can't move with it. That's why businesses fail also. But the question of hindsight is an interesting one. I think if I was to do anything differently, it would be I would get assistance early in the marketing area, earlier than what I have done. I mean, I'm an old school marketer. I do understand the principles of marketing. You know, I grew a company, publishing company, well over $1 million as an individual solopreneur. I did, you know, well in that. It was very niche. So I learned a lot of things in that process. But moving into the digital age is one that, you know, I didn't grow up in the digital age like my children have. Mm-hmm. So, and I think one of the things that I'm terribly cautious about, and I think rightly so now, is so-called gurus that are offering all sorts of stuff. You know, if anything, I've been hooked into a couple of that. I've wasted money. I've wasted time.
Yes.
And I think a lot of it is, you know, this is why, you know, meeting someone like you, Dawes, and other people in my inner circle is really, really helpful and important, because usually that inner circle is the most powerful one. It's not about going to someone overseas, or it's not about going to some big name, because in actual fact, those big names, we are just a ticket in a line often, you know, or we're part of a very well-defined, you know, program that is streamlined. Absolutely. It's streamlined. You're whittled down to the bare essentials. So, you know, in hindsight, I suppose now, I would have sought coaching or mentoring at that initial level to sort of help me understand. I mean, I think I'm very informed now, but you know, it's taken me a lot of years to actually get there. And I think I could have saved myself some some restless nights if I'd, you know, sought some help earlier.
Absolutely.
And not necessarily looked overseas or looked to the gurus.
Yes. And you've touched on a couple of points there, and I'm, you know, nodding here, not that the audience can see, but as you've mentioned, the whole gurus, you know, thing and kind of putting all your eggs in those baskets, because their marketing is fantastic, and they do make you feel like, oh, this is definitely the thing that's going to take me to that next, you know, point or line. But making sure that you do your research, and as you said, you know, you don't need to necessarily go to the biggest to get the best. Exactly. Sometimes it is the consultants or, you know, the smaller guys who really have an understanding of who you are, rather than just being a name on a very big list that goes into their, you know, funnel and their process. And that's fine. Like if you're seeing outcomes with that process and you have signed up to a guru and they've helped you, I mean, that's wonderful. Oh, sure. That's awesome. Absolutely. But I'm with you. I've invested my time in a couple of different programs as well, because I'm always about improving my own knowledge and education, and I don't know everything about everything. So, you know, constantly looking for that opportunity to make sure that I'm staying on top of my game and supporting my clients the way that they need that support. But it's not always what you think. It's not always going to give you those outcomes, and the investment of both your time and money, particularly when you're a solopreneur or small business, you know, it's just, it makes such an impact and such a difference when it doesn't work as well as when it does work. So doing that research, and as you said, working within your inner circle is usually where that answer is, rather than, you know, going bigger to go better. It's not always the case. So
no, and I think it can be really quite seductive. You know, I mean, I'm not really driven by money, but you know, I think people who are really struggling at a financial level can easily be, you know, they can overextend themselves. They can, you know, be seduced by very slick marketing and promises that. You know, we only, you know, you hear of these people, oh, you know, the six figures and seven figures and all that jazz. And there's assumption that everyone in business wants to be there. Yes, of course, you're in business to make money. But I think when money is the leading, this is my value showing up here, but, you know, when money's the leading carrot, so to speak, I just don't think that it's sustainable. And I don't, for me personally, it doesn't work.
This is why we get along, because that's my thing too. I never base what I do around this is going to make X amount of money. It's just not, because I agree. I don't think it's something that is sustainable. The other thing is that people's needs change on a daily basis. So what you think could be a really good, you know, money earner and churner and burner, it may disappear within 24 hours because, hey, that fad that came out, you know, last week is no longer popular or whatever the case is. So I think building a really solid foundation, and also understanding the difference between this get rich quick stuff and understanding that most things are slow burners, and the gurus certainly did not get there overnight and did not get there the first time they attempted to launch their own businesses, which
and
I think
some of them aren't even there, to be honest. That's another thing that I've noticed. You know, they may have, for some reason, they've got a great marketing budget and they've put stuff out there, but in actual fact, when you start to work with them, it's a facade.
Yeah,
they actually don't know what they're doing.
Yeah,
I mean, I've been signed up for some stuff, and I know so much more than the person that I've paid money to get expertise from. So we do have to be savvy. We have to be smart, and not just be sucked into. Like I had an experience a few weeks ago where I was following this woman on Facebook, and she's really good. I followed her for a couple of years, and she was promoting a program. And it was $997. And I actually got my credit card out.
Ready to go. Yeah.
And I stopped myself and said, what are you doing? Yep. Like, you don't have the time for this, nor is this really something you actually need. Stop it. And I actually thought, oh my gosh, I just had to stop myself. Yep. Like, it really shocked me. And then I realized, you know, she's got a lot of stuff that would be very, very helpful and beneficial. But when I looked at things in fine tooth comb, she probably had two things that were missing out of 10 that I already have. And the messaging was so strong. So we do have to sort of, you know, just be alert, I think, in that
I've space. Been there too in the last 2 or 3 months, wanting to, as you know, diversify and be there and show up for my audience, you know, and the people that I serve. But there are lots of different areas within this that I'm not necessarily experienced in. And so we do, we look for other experts or gurus to really support that. And then when we get a peek behind the curtains, it's like, hang on a minute, what is this? You know, premium prices, premium charges, but they're not walking the walk.
Exactly.
They're just talking the talk. And that's something I think in hindsight as well for myself that I would go, you know, have more, I guess, how can I say, believe in yourself more. Believe in yourself and what it is that you can do, Dawes, because, some of these things are not necessarily, you know, bigger or better than what you
they're
already do or know at all.
Exactly.
So, And when it comes to your own online visibility, because, of course, this is the Let's Get Visible podcast, so it's about getting our businesses out there and really being able to, you know, share what it is that we do, because if we don't make ourselves visible, then it's hard for people to know that we exist.
Exactly.
And like, what is it that we offer? We can't run a successful business that's sustainable without us getting out there and promoting ourselves. And I guess around the, you know, creatives circle, an area that you would see many struggle with this, being able to do that promotion, even as solopreneurs and small businesses. Sometimes we think, oh, well, we're not the big gurus and we don't have massive marketing budgets. So where does that leave us? Where does that position us? And do we have any voice out there in a market that's already completely saturated? How can we position ourselves in such a way? So within your own businesses, what do you think has helped you really get that visibility and get your, you know, services out there so that you can actually help and serve people?
I think I think there's a couple of things, to be honest. One is one is having a good website.
Yep.
Because irregardless of whether we sort of think people, you know, websites can bring in business or not, the fact is it is a point of reference.
Yes.
And particularly anyone working in the online space, it's sort of like not having a front door if you don't have a website.
Right.
You know, it's like I know, you know, how do people sort of get any information if you don't have an online presence? So my website, thanks to you, is, you know, a website that I'm really happy with. And, you know, look, I don't think websites are great traffic earners. I think they validate. They validate what you're offering.
Yep.
I know there are websites that absolutely generate sales and are geared that way. My website is not geared that way deliberately. It's it's been really meant to be a, sort of like a glorified brochure.
Information,
exactly.
Yep.
But I think the most helpful thing for me, other than sort of word of mouth and I hopefully delivering a good service, because a lot of my clients come from word of mouth, and I've got clients all over the world, which is really beautiful, because, you know, they'll tell someone who'll tell someone who'll tell someone.
Yes.
It's not a sustainable model. but my Facebook group, Creativity Unleashed, has been a really beautiful way of becoming visible.
Love it.
And for my clients to become visible, which is important to me. I don't like the self-promotion. I'm not comfortable in it.
Yeah.
I've got to say, and yet I know it's something I need to do. But when I move from, you know, languaging around, I need to get notice, or I need to, when I change that to a service perspective, I'm more comfortable with it.
Yes.
So, you know, if I sort of say, well, look, I know now at my age and my evolution in terms of my business that I really do have something valuable to offer.
Yep.
And I know the feedback from my clients is proof in the pudding, so to speak. You know, so I don't lack confidence in what I do, but I do shy away from being that sort of super out there position. So anywhere where I can build that through community is important to me.
I love that.
And so it's not, you know, I do this, I do that. Even that languaging sort of, I struggle with using that type of language. It's just a personal thing, you know.
Yeah.
It's just a personality thing. And so I have to find ways to, you know, to, like, I find it very confronting when people sort of come on full on with sort of a very self-oriented position. I don't need to judge that. I just find it quite full on.
Yes.
So I like to sort of think integrity is super important to me.
Yeah.
Integrity, authenticity, having my own voice. You know, I speak with my clients about their story is so important. to be able to speak about their story. And I don't mean, you know, their chronological story. I don't mean, you know, I don't mean what they had for breakfast and all that stuff.
No.
But you know, just their journey, their genuine journey is powerful. Yes. You know, people, it's like sitting down with a cup, it's like this, you know, sit down with a cup of tea or a coffee and just chat to a friend. And
yes.
So that's the way that I like to approach the whole getting visible.
Yes.
You know, asking people inquiry, being curious, you know, being open to receive without judgment, I think yes. is super important.
Absolutely. And one thing that's really stuck out of each of those key points, look, word of mouth from all the podcasts that I've recorded so far, it's the one consistent thing that every single business has mentioned or business owner.
Yeah.
And it though has to stem from good service. Like, you're not just going to get this word of mouth just because, you know, Joe Smith from down the road, you know, saw your sign, and it has to be based on
absolutely
kind of service you've delivered, as you said, based on that integrity, but building community.
Yes.
I love that. And so with the Facebook group that you've launched, and you said it's there for you, but it's also there for the creatives and the people that you work with, which I think's quite interesting. Like, it's an interesting point that you've said there, because sometimes you feel like those groups are very much just about the person who's managing the page and about their business, but that's not really community. I think when you do make it about other people, as well as, you know, a bit about yourself, that really that community then starts to build, and you find that visibility coming through organically. So what have been some of the benefits, do you think, from having that Facebook group for both your, you know, clients as well as you? What are some things that that you think
I think we ask lots of questions in that group.
Yeah.
So we've got some sort of loose structure, like Monday's a market day.
Yeah.
So that gives an opportunity for anyone to promote their URL, their website, their Facebook group, their concerts, their exhibitions, their gallery display, you know, it's sort of like, and people definitely are starting to post things on Monday. And I love the group because they do honor the days that are set aside for those things. Like, I don't have any issue with people promoting, even other coaches, because I do believe that people will find the right person to deliver the right service.
I love that. Yeah.
And so Monday's our market day. Tuesdays, every now and again, we have it as a tip day. So, you know, share what you've learned about your business or your art or the way in which you, you know, nurture your own audience or your fans. Friday, we have feedback day. So Friday, we sort of like to look at works in progress. So someone who's, you know, they might be doing a piece of art, or they might be creating a song, or they might be writing a book, and they'll share a chapter, or, you know, whatever. So they're getting really constructive feedback. But I think the most powerful thing is the supporting each other.
Yes.
It's very obvious that they're just a beautiful group of people who are very supportive of each other. One of the big things about creatives, and I think solopreneurs and business people feel this as well, often when we're alone or at home, we're doing the freelance thing, it can be quite lonely.
Yes.
And it can be, you're just craving for someone. What do you think about such and such? You know, am I on the right path with this? Could someone please give me some feedback?
Yeah.
Like, in an office, you get that naturally. You know, you get it at the coffee table, you know, or the lunchroom, or you get it when you go outside to stretch your legs, or you get it around the desks, or you get it in formal meetings. But you don't get it when you're a solo performer, a visual artist, a solopreneur, someone working at home. So that's a very helpful thing in terms of the group, that they can exercise that collaboration and community within it. Like, community is a really big part of it for me.
Love it.
And I think it's a big part of it for my you know, community of creators, not my community, our community of creators. It's even though I'm facilitating it, I don't sort of feel it's my group.
Yeah, it's everyone's.
It's starting to evolve as a community, and that's the way that I really like it.
Beautiful.
And occasionally, you know, I definitely, you know, I might promote a guide that would help them, which I have done, or, you know, I've got a social media calendar, which they, you know, many of them have appreciated that. Because one of the things about creatives, they really, a lot of them have an allergy to marketing.
Yeah.
You know, they're great performing, you know, they're like Jekyll and Hyde, like they can get up and do their thing.
Yeah.
They can really perform without issue, but they do hold this sort of, you know, some of them are quite reticent about promoting themselves. So, yeah. And not knowing how to, this knowledge gap thing, the fear and the knowledge gap, a lot of them just don't have that knowledge of how do I do this? How do I go about it?
And
where do I start?
It's quite daunting and overwhelming.
It really is.
Something that ties in with that and something you mentioned in the previous question as well is that when the focus is on you and it's removed from how it is that you help and serve other people, I know for me, I freeze up. Like if you were to ask me or tell me about yourself and what it is that, you know, you do, that's the moment where I can't speak. I freeze because I think, well, I don't really want to sit here and talk about myself.
Yeah.
But if you ask me to run, you know, an hour on the topic of SEO, you can't shut me up. And I think it's that way, as you mentioned, you know, with other creatives too. And I love the way that you said an allergy to marketing because it's that self-promotion. Because when they are being creative, let's say it is someone who is a performer or an artist, yes, they are, you know, front and center, but it's their story that they're sharing, not them. So, and I think we forget that. I think we think, well, as a performer, you know, you're confident and you've got the ability to really showcase, you know, yourself, but it's the messaging or it's the way in which they're connecting with their audience that they're sharing, not so much talking about themselves. And I was watching one of the shows on TV like the other weekend, a musical show. And, you know, they had an Australian artist on there. And usually this artist is up there performing his music, but in this instance, he was supporting someone who was auditioning.
Yeah.
And so they turned the spotlight onto him and said, oh, well, what about you? And what have you, you know, been doing? And he just completely froze up.
Yeah.
And I just thought, because when he's performing, he's sharing a story and he's connecting with the audience that way, but he's not necessarily wanting to have the spotlight necessarily on him himself. So
there's a real privacy thing that I think happens I think that's an interesting observation too. I think that the story is often around the art and people are comfortable around the story of the art, but once it moves beyond that, it can be quite personal and daunting because it's a vulnerability. The interesting thing about artists, which I think is quite different, it just made me think about it when you were speaking.
Yeah.
Think about artists is artists are birthing every time they create something.
Yeah.
They're fully invested in it. Yeah. Unlike someone who might be, fixing a fence or delivering papers or serving someone at a shop, not that those jobs are not important, they are, but I think for a creative, someone who is birthing, creating, you know, every single time they sing, every time they paint something, every time they put their mind and their heart and their soul to something, it is an act of birth.
Yep.
And so, you know, there's and all of those things that go with it, you know, the pain, the struggle, the joy, the worry,
everything.
You know, all of those dimensions that go in birthing, in physical birthing is a part of every job. Like I think of graphic designers, you know, who might be doing a business card this time and a brochure that time. True artists, every business card, every brochure, it's a part of them.
They're putting their heart and soul into that design.
Absolutely.
Yep. I feel the same about web design.
Of course you do. I know you do. Yep. And it's personal.
Yeah.
It is actually personal. And so there's a lot more at stake.
Yes.
And so when you sort of talk about getting visible, like there is that, I hope my client is going to like that business card. I hope that, you know, we don't sort of think about that often, that there's so much more than just a deliverable.
Yeah.
And there's so much more
mindful of that. Yeah, I love that because I work with graphic designers and web designers as well.
Mm.
And I'm really mindful in the way that I respond to things. So if I've provided a scope and they've, you know, returned with a copy of, you know, the first round or that business card or that logo, or whatever, I'm really mindful as to how I provide that feedback.
Exactly.
Because I know they've interpreted the instructions that I've provided in their own particular way. And this is something that I share with my clients too, in that we want to be able to create things that really resonate and they're proud of. You know, when we deliver a website, it has to be something that our clients love.
Yeah, exactly.
But sometimes it's a tricky line, because what they have in mind and then what is created can sometimes be two different things. And I found that they're usually pleasantly surprised, going, oh my goodness, I didn't even think that what I had in my mind and what I had envisaged was going to turn out to be, you know, this awesome. And so 99% of the time it's a beautiful thing. But yeah, we've got to be really, you know, careful and mindful as to how we provide that feedback, because they're interpreting the information into their own way, and that's why they do what they do and we do what we do, because I certainly couldn't you know, do that kind of work. It's not necessarily my point or place where I shine, but yeah, it's interesting that you've mentioned that. Now we are at the other end or other side of the naughty C word, which is COVID-19.
Oh yes.
Yes. And it's something that I guess has come about. So when this podcast was launched, it was launched as a result of this pandemic, right? So I'd been planning and thinking and in that phase for so long, probably a good 12 months before I decided to pull my finger out and go, you know what, Dawes, like, you really, really need to do this, because it's the interviews that I love. As I said at the beginning, I could know the person that I'm interviewing for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. And what I find after doing one of these episodes is that we learn so much more about each other. And I feel a lot closer to that person as a result of us having this experience together. And I think that's, you know, lovely, but it really does light me up. Like, I'm so happy, and the joy that I get out of these is great. And I know then that's the right thing for me. It's not about the making of the money of it, but it's the, you know, the building the community, building these relationships together, and then having shared you with my audience and you vice versa, and then all these things just organically result, you know, from this one conversation or this one podcast episode. So I know the naughty C word for me has made me sit down and go, okay, what are the things on your to-do list, Dawes? Pick three things on your to-do list that you've been procrastinating, that you and I had shared probably about 12 months ago when I was doing my coaching with you. And what are the things that you are fearing? What are the things that you keep putting off that you can now, you don't have to drive to and from the office at the moment every day, you know, because you're homeschooling your kids. And so instead of that drive, you can sit down and map out or plan some of the things on that to-do list. So would you say that in your case or situation that the naughty C word has helped or assisted you or hindered you in business in any way?
Look, for me personally, it hasn't changed a lot because I work from home. I'm fairly disciplined.
Yes.
I love what I do. It's a creative expression of me. So I get into flow very easily. I mean, I have learnt techniques to do that.
Yes.
So I can just sit, get into flow and boom, and I can go for it. You know,
like it.
So that's always been part, you know, at least for the last 10 years of my working life anyway.
Yeah.
But I think the thing that came to light more than anything during the COVID issue has been my audience, my clients. They have been deeply affected. Some of them have lost work for 2 years. Like, I was speaking to one of my clients and friend now just a couple of days ago, an opera singer. I mean, she just does not know when opera will open up. She's an international opera singer. You know, England is in dire straits. You know, whether it's Berlin or whether it's America or whether it's, you know, anywhere in the world, it's just like, who knows? It's that, just that incredible unknowing. So now here's someone, to take this person as an example, what on earth is she going to do? She's an opera singer. Coming up in her career. So she's just one of many. You know, I've got another young person that's a producer, and all her work is now It's caused. Gone.
Yeah.
You know, there's actors who cannot now or haven't been able to go for auditions because of the social distancing issues. You know, the arts have completely shut down in terms of mass market. And, you know, credit to the singers and the comedians and the artists who are doing stuff online, but it is not feeding them. Like it's just not enough. So I'm sort of feel very emotional about my audience because I feel that, you know, we can be altruistic about, you know, building our businesses and working on our social media or doing our X or our Y or, you know, doing sort of pretty stuff on the side. But some people, particularly in the arts community, are suffering now and will do for quite some time.
Yeah, it's not over. It's definitely not over.
No. You know, when are the art, and even in terms of support for the artists, I won't get political, but, you know, like it just infuriates me that there's all this effort and energy put into supporting, you know, codes to get back on the field and all sort of business, while our artists and our creatives are barely existing because they're not being supported. You know, they don't get many of them haven't been able to get the benefits because they're self-employed or they're casuals. I mean, what artist does not have a casual job?
To survive.
So, you know, yes, COVID has, and yes, it's impacted my business. I mean, luckily I've been able to, you know, have clients during that time, but some of my clients have simply put everything on hold and I've graciously, you know,
honored that
to that because that's how it is. So in terms of my own business though, you know, I've been able to put my head down and my tail up and, you know, really focus on some things that I know down the track will be super beneficial to my clients and people that I haven't worked with.
Yes.
But yeah, it's a bit of a bitter pill to swallow for my audience. I've got to be honest.
Yeah, and I think being mindful of that and knowing that when you do, I guess, you know, continue to build that community and share those resources, that's always top of mind as well. Like, does that fit in with them? And I know that you do that. As you said, you are a very heart-centered, you know, human and business person as well. But definitely seeing the way that it's impacted different areas and industries, and same with you. So working in small business, some people, have just had to pull the pin and plug and just go, there's no income coming in. I've had to shut the doors of my business. I can't pay for services when I don't have a business to run. And honouring it's that and supporting
tragic,
them
really.
As best as we can, hoping that, you know, that the tides will turn the other way.
They will,
and as you said, start to play some more of those positive movies to ourselves.
Well, that's right. With the person I was speaking to that's the opera singer, I just sort of said, you know, I guess the only consolation here is that every single opera singer in the world is experiencing this.
Yes.
So, you know, hopefully within this time of fallow when the opera world is or any entertainment world is regrouping and considering how they're going to move forward in this, hopefully some of those old traditions that needed to go by the wayside will fall away and, you know, a newness will come out of it. I mean, he's the optimist speaking, but, you know, I do believe that. I think that, you know, out of these struggling times, there's real opportunity that's possible for sure.
Yeah. And it happens to clean out, as you said, some of those old ways of thinking and doing and looking at the other strengths. And yes, they're opera singers, but they're so much more than that too. Like, they're not just opera singers, are they?
Correct.
They do so much more.
Exactly.
So many other skills and lots of different ways to to move forward, but to have that optimistic perspective, because whether you are or you aren't, you still have to move forward. So you better do it with a great mindset rather than the woe is me. I think having the woe is me moments is okay, and acknowledging those, you have to, but then going, okay, where can we move forward from here, and what are some steps that we can take? Because if you just sit in that negative state, it really isn't going to play the blockbusters, is it?
Well, that's right. And I think, you know, there's an old saying, I don't know where it's come from, but where there is no vision, the people perish. And it's sort of like, I really believe that. I think it's important for us to create, you know, meaningful, powerful visioning so that we can, you know, really have something to look forward to and something to embrace and something that sort of motivates us and all the rest of it. But, you know, at the same time, we need to balance those realities of life. And that's a delicate dance,
I think. It is a delicate dance. But I think having that community, as you said, that you've set up, so it's on Facebook and it's, under groups.
It's Creativity Unleashed.
Beautiful.
An exclamation mark. Doing.
Beautiful. Yeah, so I'm going to be popping all of your links as well as the link to the Facebook group underneath the podcast episode on the website. But just wanted to thank you so much for catching up today. And yes, if anyone wants to get in touch, you can also visit Mon at creativeedgecoaching.com.au. But as mentioned, all of the links will be below the podcast episode on the website, including the Facebook group, which is fantastic. But again, just appreciate you taking the time to spend it with me today and the audience. And yes, I look forward to us continuing to do lots of good, juicy magic together in the future as
Thanks so much, Dawes. And thanks for championing this. It's been wonderful to for you to be able to share your gorgeousness with a wider audience too. So thank you very much. It's been a privilege to be here today.
Awesome. Thanks, Mon. Send you give you cuddles. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye. Thanks for giving this show a listen. And don't forget to leave your feedback and rating, as this would make me very happy. Now, if you want to learn more about me or my services, please jump on over to letsgetvisible.com.au, where you'll also find links to my socials so you can connect there as well. Okay, well, that's a wrap for another episode. So I'll join you next time on the Let's Get Visible podcast.